There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Where to Go. I'm James Atkinson, Senior Brand Manager at DK Eyewitness.
And I'm Lucy Richards, Senior Editor at DK Eyewitness.
And welcome to Where to Go, where every fortnight we find out more about the world's favourite travel destinations with the people who know those places best. And today, those people who know the places best actually don't necessarily know those places yet. So we've got this podcast all wrong, Lucy. Listener, it's a special episode today because we haven't done one of these in a while. We are bringing in the DK Eyewitness team to share some of our summer travel plans and 2023 travel plans, which is all very, very exciting. So whereas we won't have been to those places yet, they are still experts.
Yes, so, 100%. Yeah, we love these episodes. We love getting the team on and chatting to them.
Absolutely. And we've got some new voices this time as well,
we
Lucy.
Do.
There's been a couple of change arounds in the team and loads of like new blood coming in.
Yeah, which is really exciting, and they've got loads of exciting ideas and places they're going. So I'm delighted. There are three newbies all coming on the podcast today.
Yep, three newbies and Rachel, who you'll have all heard before.
The pro that is Rachel Laidler, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, listener, you're in for a real treat today. But first, Lucy, any holidays planned this year? I mean, you've already been to Italy, right?
I've been to Italy, and I've just literally come back from Scotland. So yes. I don't really have anything incredibly no, that's not true. I don't have anything too adventurous planned. Mm. I'm actually looking forward to having summer in London. I think London in summer is it at its best. The city really comes to life. The parks fill out. All the beer gardens fill out. So I'm really looking forward to spending the summer in London. But I think towards the end of the summer and early autumn, I'm hoping to go to Devon. Mm. That's where my mum's side of the family are all from. I'm going to go and spend some time with Silver Spice.
Oh, yes.
My sort of 91 or 2-year-old grandma, born and bred Plymouth. In fact, all of my mum's side, as far as we know, are from Plymouth. So I'm planning to go with my partner and see Silver Spice and just do lots of like wholesome. It's like we'll be having cream teas. There's a gin distillery. We'll go to the gin. We'll go on to Dartmoor for walks. It will just be really lovely and to spend some time with her, which I'm just hugely looking forward to.
Love to Silver Spice. Hope she's listening.
Yeah, me too. Do you know, I wouldn't be surprised. She's a pretty cool lady.
I know this.
How about you, James? I think you might be doing something a little bit more exciting.
Well, we've kind of mostly booked it. Going to Crete next month.
Oh, lovely.
So we had Umdenard. It's a kind of like, it's the horrible thing about working in travel and working with travel guides, etc. all the time, is just having so much choice. And we Umdenard for ages, and then we decided we had such a great time in Santorini last year. It was the first time I used to do family holidays in the Greek islands all the time when I was a kid, and it's the first time I'd been back in ages, and I've never been to Crete. I've always wanted to see it. It's one of the more, obviously it's sizable, it's got lots going on, there's a lot of history and culture and stuff there, and we thought it just made sense. So we're doing a lovely week there next month, and then exactly like you, I'm just really looking forward to a nice summer in London. I feel like people who don't necessarily live here or only see London for a couple of days when passing through or visiting, actually, you know, London really comes alive in the summer.
It does.
It's just it's a totally different city to when it's grey and miserable. There's, you know, people out in the parks, there's so much more green spaces.
It has a different vibe, it just has a different feel about it. It almost feels like a different city. It really is at its best in the summer.
So very much looking forward to that, and hopefully do a couple of UK weekends and stuff, try and get on the bike at some point as well. That's
the
plan. So all very exciting, lots to look forward to in summer 2023. So we have four brilliant guests. Should we get our first guest on, Lucy?
Let's do it.
Yeah, so we are going to be joined in a second by Rachel Laidler. Okay, so joining us first is friend of the show. You guys will have heard her many times on these kinds of episodes before. It's project editor Rachel Laidler. So welcome back, Woo-hoo. Rachel.
Thank you. It's lovely to be back, and you can get to hear my dulcet tones again. So.
Exactly.
What a treat.
Rachel, we're really excited about your upcoming journey. I was in the office with you yesterday, and you gave me a little sneak peek. But for listeners, tell us where and how you're travelling this summer.
So essentially, I'm planning to head to Italy for a couple of weeks, and it's basically a journey of two parts. So the first week I'm going to be spending in around Florence area with my partner Fraser. So, you know, we'll be like strolling across the Ponte Vecchio. We're going to be exploring the city's amazing art galleries, things like that. We might do a cheeky side trip to Bologna. Lovely. To go and basically eat our way around the city. Alla Stanley Tucci. and then the second part, it's like 2 week trip. Second week, I'm going to be heading off on a bit of a solo trip. So I'm going to take the train from Florence to Naples and go via Rome. It's actually a trip that's been a little bit inspired by a plug coming up. Here we go. Our lovely book, Europe by Train. So that's basically a book that covers 50 incredible rail journeys around the continent. So yeah, it's given me a lot of inspiration.
Nicely squeezed in there, Rachel.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Seamless. It was seamless.
It was absolutely seamless. Yeah. And so tell us a little bit more about that train journey.
Yeah, so I'll start off in Florence, so I'll have kind of like explored the city then. And then it's not actually that far, I don't think, by train to get down to Rome. I think it's about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours at most. Yeah. Then when I'm in Rome, I haven't been there for like, I think it's 10 years now. So I last went there when I was interrailing at uni. I'm interested to see how the city's changed, really, and just like meander around and maybe have an espresso here or, you know, a bowl of pasta there. Eating's going to feature quite heavily on this trip for me. from there, I'm going to go to Naples and explore that city, which is going to be amazing, and perhaps head down the Amalfi Coast if I can manage it, and yeah, go to sites like Pompeii.
Amazing, Rachel.
Sounds like a great trip.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Will you kind of rejoin with Fraser at the end of that then, or will you guys just fly back separately?
Nah. I'll leave him to his own devices.
You kind of mentioned about sort of Europe by train, but is this a sort of a journey that you've wanted to do for quite a long time?
I think the idea of doing a solo trip, I think, is something that I've wanted to do for a while. I've done like a few of them, but never anything by train. Mm. So yeah, and I mean, I just love Italy. I adore Italy. So the idea of getting to explore it a little bit more, the two things kind of just like merged in my head, and I was like, this is going to be perfect.
I'm with you, Rachel. Everyone who knows me knows I love Italy. What do you think it is about it that makes it such a? Because it's perennially popular. Everyone loves Italy. It never falls out of fashion.
Yeah, I think it's like so many things. I mean, you've got, you know, these like amazing historic cities that are filled with incredible museums and art galleries, and also have, yeah, incredible like foodie scenes. But then it's the landscapes as well. I mean, everybody in the office knows because I bang on about it so much, but basically like how much I love the Dolomites in Northern Italy.
I
need to sneak it in there. Not going there on this trip, but I absolutely love the Dolomites. But then, yeah, you've got kind of like rolling vineyards and olive groves in Tuscany. Yeah. You've got, like incredible lakes like Garda and Como. And you've got even like volcanic landscapes around Naples with Mount Etna. So it's just such variety with it. And then, I know I've already mentioned the food, but obviously the food has got to feature so much. Yeah.
Something I kind of like that maybe when watching that Stanley Tucci documentary, which is fantastic and obviously just makes you really hungry generally, but
yeah, all the time
it is that kind of variety. And actually, like, you know, there are threads that kind of, like, you know, join together, like Italian cuisine, but actually, like, that from place to place it really, really differs. And actually this trip sounds amazing, just in terms of you get that kind of, like, you know, start in Florence and then move on to eventually ending up with your pizzas and so on in Naples. Like, yeah, I'm jealous of your stomach. That's it.
Yeah, I think that's something that I wasn't necessarily that aware of, the regional variety, before I watched that program. And I completely agree with you as well. Sometimes I watched that when I was eating my dinner, and it didn't matter how much I ate for dinner, I was always hungry afterwards. So yeah, I think it's definitely, like, whetted my appetite to just go there and maybe be a bit more aware of the variety that's there in terms of the cuisine and in terms of the culture by region. So yeah, I think it'll be very interesting to travel through a section of Italy and see how it changes as I go.
Is there a place that you're most excited about seeing?
I think Rome, like I said before, just because I haven't been there for a while.
Yeah.
So I mean, when I turned up there, I was a very, like, dishevelled backpacker, so I'd like to be a little bit more elegant next time. But we'll see if I can make that happen. And then I think, like, the Amalfi Coast is another place I'd really love to go to. And I know there's only so far that I think you can get down by train, and then you have to, like, jump on a bus to go around it. But yeah, just the idea of, like, travelling with, like, mountains and cliffs on one side and then the sea on the other, and, like, dropping into all of these, like, beautiful, colorful villages along the way. Oh, it's gonna be so dreamy. Why am I not there now?
We're all asking that, actually.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, you mentioned about, like, kind of, like, being a disheveled backpacker turning up in Rome beforehand and stuff. Obviously you mentioned about interrailing before as well.
Yeah.
And so you do have experience of riding the rails, so to say. But what do you think will be different this time around?
I think it'll be different just because it is. When I went interrailing last time, I did it with a friend. And so I think it's going to be interesting to do it just by myself as a solo trip. I think that brings with it its own kind of, like, challenges, I suppose. I mean, I'm notorious for not having a sense of direction, so I'm gonna have to have my phone with me at all times and make sure that the GPS is on. But I think actually what I expected, I think it to be quite, I don't know why I assumed this, but almost, like, tricky to plan out the route. But then I think there are a lot of resources out there. I mean, there's a, like, fantastic Man and Seat 61, which provides so much information on train travel. But also the actual Interrailing website, they've got a really cool and handy visual map where you can plan your route down. So I think I was expecting it to be a bit of, like, a logistical nightmare almost, like to move from one place to another. But There's so many resources out there that I think it's going to be, fingers crossed, I don't jinx it now, but that it's going to make, travelling that way, like, a breeze, hopefully.
Rachel, that sounds absolutely incredible. We are, I think, all of us, including producer Julia, all incredibly jealous of that trip. We're all looking very doughy-eyed as you talked about that. Thank you so much.
I expect no to worries. See you back in the office twice as big.
I'll have a slice of pizza in hand at all times.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You must. You absolutely must.
Thanks.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Thanks, guys.
So, first time guest to the podcast, welcome to editor Alex Pathey.
Hello, welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Great to have you on, Alex, finally.
So excited to have you on here. Thank you for coming on.
I've been waiting for an invitation. I'm elated to be here.
So, Alex, you're going to tell us a little bit about how you plan to spend your summer. So, do you want to talk us through some of your amazing plans?
Yeah, so I'm not going too far afield this summer. I'm going to be spending the vast majority of it in Devon and Cornwall, because for the past few years my dad and I have been walking the South West Coast Path, England's longest national trail, so we're about to complete the whole 630 miles. The trail starts in Minehead in Somerset. It passes through Exmoor, vast swathes of North Devon, and then the whole of Cornwall before finishing in Poole in Dorset. But we've actually been walking it in a reverse direction, so I think we've got two more 20-mile legs left, and then we're going to be finishing in Minehead later this summer. So it's going to be a cause for celebration. I'm really looking forward to that.
Huge cause for celebration.
Yeah. That's a massive achievement as well. It's such a huge kind of like undertaking. How many years have you been doing it for?
Well, it's interesting, actually, because my dad started it a good few years ago, maybe even a decade ago, with my granddad. And then my granddad died 2 years ago, and I've sort of taken up the mantle, and I've been walking it with my dad. So it's become this lovely sort of multi-generational walking project. And it's just been really lovely. I think we're going to feel simultaneously elated and slightly bereft when we finish it, because it's been such a big part of our lives.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of planning to get a few of our relatives along on that last leg, so that when we finish it, we'll raise a glass to my granddad, because he would have loved to have finished it with us. That's going to be really lovely.
That's really beautiful. Alex, have you read The Salt Path by Raina Wynne?
I have. I love that book so much. We're all
big
fans of that.
Yeah, it's a wonderful book, and we've been very lucky. We had her on the podcast a few seasons ago, and she really captured the magic of the Southwest Coast. And it sounds to me like you really feel that magic too, especially the sort of connection then with your family. It obviously is quite an emotional thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've got such an attachment to the Southwest, and just the sheer variety of the landscapes and the terrain, it's just amazing. You know, one minute you'll be walking along sort of golden sandy beaches, then you'll be climbing a cliff into a sort of forested glade, then you'll be in these picturesque fishing villages. It's just, yeah, it's really, really lovely.
That's cool. Do you have a favourite stretch? Have you had a bit that's your favourite?
Oh, it's so hard to pick. I think recently we've been doing a lot of North Devon, and actually some of the towns and villages in North Devon have been so beautiful. So most recently we were in a little village called Appledore, which is right on the River Torridge. And it was one of those sort of serendipitous travel moments where we arrived after a long day's walking. We got some chips. We tested out some of the local pubs, because that's always been a big part of it. As much as we love the walking, it's always the like
the pub at the
kind
end
of jubilation when you finish. And, yeah, the pubs at the end. Exactly.
I can totally see that. The North Devon bits are lovely as well. I've actually been to Appledore before. I've been to like Biddeford and stuff as well. But yeah, it's such a massive, I mean, it's 630 miles in total, isn't it? So it's a huge, huge undertaking. So much kind of variety there too. It's such a fantastic thing to do. Congratulations on almost finishing it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'll let you all know when it's done. I think we're going to be fishing for another sort of long distance walking project after that, so I'll be returning to the guidebooks looking for other great walking trails in the UK.
Have you got any ones in mind?
I would love to do some walking in Pembrokeshire, because I haven't spent much time in Pembrokeshire, but that coast path in Pembrokeshire I think is a strong contender for our next project.
Good choice.
Yeah, that's a great choice. And I hear you've kind of got a second trip potentially planned, Alex. Is that right?
Yeah. So we're going to be returning to Cornwall. I think this is actually in a couple of weeks' time with some friends. We're going to be wild camping near Polzeath, and it's going to be my first time surfing. So I've spent so long walking along the Atlantic coast, but I've never actually come face to face with it. And this is going to be the moment where I meet the waves on a board, which is actually making me quite nervous just saying it. But I've always wanted to surf, but I've never quite galvanised myself into doing it. And this summer is going to be the first time I attempt it.
I have a feeling that you're just going to take to it like a duck to water, genuinely, Alex. You strike me as the kind of guy who's just going to be a natural.
Oh, I appreciate that, Lucy. Thank you.
Just think of that as you're,
I will. As you're I hit taking the wave, it I'll be thinking about that, yeah.
I'm a natural. I can do this. So are you getting lessons? Are you going to surf school and stuff?
I don't know. I think we're definitely going to rent a couple of boards. I've heard it on good authority that the waves around Polzeath are quite good for a beginner surfer. I don't think they ever get too monstrous. I think just the way that the kind of sand dunes there work, it means the waves are quite small. So that makes me feel a little bit more confident. I think we might just sort of dabble without actually having any lessons, which might be a bad idea, but we'll give it a go.
And then are you just staying in the UK, Alex, or do you have any other plans for sort of anywhere more far flung?
Well, late in the summer, we're going to be going to Granada in southern Spain because I've been very keen to do a tapas tour of Granada for a long time.
Yeah.
So I think we've definitely got that planned later in the summer.
Fantastic.
That sounds wonderful. We've just spoken to Rachel, who's been talking about going to Italy and eating her way around Italy. And now, Alex, you're talking about doing a tapas crawl. So I think we're all going to leave this absolutely ravenous.
Yeah, absolutely. I can feel myself going hungry already.
Yeah, it's still quite a few hours to lunch. but yeah, what was it about Granada that particularly makes you want to do the tapas tour there?
I've heard that Granada is one of these cities in Spain that still does tapas in its completely traditional way, in the way that you'll order a drink and whatever you order, the chef will just serve a dish with it. And the best thing to do is almost not even to ask what you're eating, just to consume what you're given, which just sounds beautiful. Yeah, I think that Granada just seems to be the place that does tapas so well. And I think that tapas culture is just such an amazing thing for me. The idea of being able to just go order a drink and just kind of be served a dish, you're not quite sure what you're getting, just sounds amazing.
Totally. And how about any sites? Have you got any particular sites or things you want to do aside from then all the tapas?
Yeah, so obviously there's the Alhambra, the Islamic fortress. I think just the city seems to be this beautiful blend of kind of Catholic and Islamic architecture, which is something you get so beautifully in southern Spain. But Granada, from looking at images of it, it seems like it's really unique. It doesn't really feel like any other city in Spain.
Yeah.
And there's also a neighbourhood... where there are all these houses built into the cliffs and you can go and see like a beautiful flamenco show within these kind of caves in the cliffs. I've seen Anthony Bourdain speaks very lovingly of Granada, which makes me think it's going to be pretty great.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
Yeah. Well, there's no better advocate. So
exactly.
That all sounds like you've got an amazing summer planned, Alex.
You really
do. You're putting us all to shame for sure.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. And now the sun's coming out in South London, I think it feels like summer's here, which is great.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing your travel plans with us, Alex. Look forward to hearing about all of those different adventures and looking forward to seeing that moment where you guys across the finish line on the Southwest Coast
path. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us. With almost every corner of the continent connected by track, train travel in Europe has never been easier. While your endpoint may be one of the world's greatest cities, along your route is a cast of supporting destinations you may well have never thought to visit, but will be very glad you did. And that's what we want to encourage you to do in our brand new book, Europe by Train, a collection of 50 itineraries for the ultimate rail adventure. Get your copy wherever you get your books or find it via the link in our episode bio.
Another fresh face to the podcast is our wonderful project editor, Tiana Todorinovic. Welcome, Tiana.
Hello.
Welcome, Tiana. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So great to have new voices on the podcast.
And, totally, yeah.
And new experts too. And Tiana, you joined DK last year, right?
Yes.
And I've heard a little bird has told me that your first kind of major project was working on Like a Local Rome. And that might have inspired a bit of a trip. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, one of the first books that I was across was Rome Like a Local, which is coming out soon.
Yes.
And it inspired me to head over there, really, working on that. I mean, I was kind of reading about so many different exciting places that I just really wanted to go check it out. So I planned a nice long weekend and headed over there. And I mean, there were so many hidden gems that I wanted to explore. And I have to say, food spots were definitely the top of my list because it wasn't my first time going to Rome. So I was like, right, this time it's all about food for me.
Yeah.
I headed over to some places like, some like famous bakeries and pizza places. And I mean, the really standout one for me was definitely the Forno Campo di Fiori, which faces the kind of really bustling street market on the square. And there's these queues of people waiting for pizza. And it was just a really nice experience. I mean, it's so popular that it has two different shops and two different queues of people. So I was kind of standing behind this queue of like people on their lunch break from work and waiting to get my pizza. And the pizza was amazing. It was well worth the wait. So
good.
How did it feel kind of like, you know, piecing together all of those recommendations? Obviously you work with like different local contributors on like a local too, and then actually kind of like seeing the places. Did all of them live up to your expectations?
Yeah, definitely. They definitely did. It was really nice to kind of see them come to life, I guess, and to have the experience that a lot of readers would have while kind of reading the books. It was kind of nice to have that full circle kind of moment. And it was just really nice to see what the different contributors had actually pulled out and picked out as places. You know, there's like, everyone has different interests and different tastes as well. So it was kind of really nice seeing that blend and getting that kind of really rounded experience and trying out all these different places that people enjoyed. So it made it really special to know that it was recommended by people who were local as well, which was really lovely.
It's amazing.
Which is obviously a wonderful plug for the whole series.
Yes, that's the whole point, isn't it?
But also what Tiana's not mentioning is that while she was working on Rome Like a Local, she was also working on Eyewitness Rome, which is our really comprehensive, chunky guidebook, and Top 10 Rome. So we were astounded that we hadn't put Tiana off Rome altogether. But she is now our Rome expert. 100%.
You are tied to Rome for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's it. I'm
rest
not complaining.
Your DK career, you'll be the Rome expert.
That's brilliant. I'm so glad we didn't put you off. And Rome Like a Local, it comes out later in the year, doesn't it?
Yes.
In autumn, yes.
I should know the date, shouldn't I? that's great. And hopefully you can pass some of those recommendations on to Rachel as well, because she's obviously going there pretty soon too.
That's right. Rachel Laidler, who we've just heard from, who's doing an Italian train trip. So yes, Tiana, you have to go out for lunch with Rachel and give us some recommends.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, you definitely. Are our Rome guy now. I know you've got more adventures planned for this year. So where's next?
Yes, so sticking to Europe, I'm going to be heading to Naxos via Santorini for the summer, which is I'm really excited about because I absolutely love Greece. So I can't wait.
And why Santorini and Naxos? What's the inspiration behind choosing those islands?
Yeah, I mean, so obviously Santorini is just such an iconic spot, you know, like so many other people. I've just always wanted to see the classic blue domes and the white walls of the main island. Also, interestingly, like before coming onto this podcast, I did a little bit of digging on it and I didn't realize that Santorini is the island that's associated to the legend of Atlantis. And as a kid, I absolutely loved Little Mermaid and all things underwater. Oh. So yeah, I'm so keen to go and see that now.
That's such a good tidbit. I didn't know that either. How cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to Santorini last year and I didn't know that. So clearly not been reading the right stuff. But you're so right though. It's been a really trending destination over the last couple of years, but it's so beautiful. And the kind of like the caldera and the kind of like the blue domes and stuff are real. And it'll be amazing.
Also with the caldera, the kind of that kind of volcanic history and the kind of eruption that happened so many years ago, and seeing the impact on the landscape and how it all looks, as well as the kind of beautiful buildings, it feels like it's quite different to the rest of some of the other Greek islands, or certainly the Cyclades islands. So I'm kind of really curious to see that as well.
Yeah, they get their own kind of like temperature as well down there, because they're slightly kind of remote and away from other ones. So yeah, there'll be a bit of a different kind of vibe to it. It's almost a little bit windier in quite a nice way.
Do you have any particular plans while you're out there, Tiana? Any sights you want to see or things you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, for Santorini specifically, I just really want to explore the main town, which I think is called Aia or Oia.
Oia, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to see the buildings, obviously. And I'm mainly just really looking forward to having a sunset drink somewhere on a terrace, looking out onto the sea, just really enjoying the vibe and just soaking it all up in, really.
Lovely.
That's my main. And I want to see the caldera as well. And yeah, I'm really curious how that all looks, to be honest. I have no concept of it at the moment. So
it It's absolutely breathtaking. You're in for a real treat. And tell us a little bit about Naxos as well, because I don't really know very much about Naxos. So is that an easy-ish boat ride away from Santorini?
Yeah, it's not too far. So actually, you know, flying into Santorini was a bit of convenience as well, because it is an easier way to get to Naxos rather than flying direct. So Naxos, I mean, I was just drawn to because it is a little bit more off the beaten track, which I always love. And it's actually the largest of the Cyclades Islands. So it's really famous for kind of all the produce that it has. So, you know, it's full of olives and grapes and lemons, and it has that kind of nature vibe. So I'm kind of, you know, I was just quite keen to go somewhere that was like kind of calmer, maybe fewer tourists, and just really kind of enjoying the local offering, I guess, and the local spots, and that also has a town and beaches, but it's not too busy altogether. So that was kind of what drew me to Naxos, and I've had some friends who have gone and really enjoyed it as well. So yeah, I'm really, really keen to explore it a little bit.
That's amazing.
How wonderful. How about any other islands? Are there any others? You said you love Greece. Is there anywhere else you want to tick off in the future?
Yes. I mean, the dream is to spend time island hopping, I think, which I've always wanted to do. But I want to do it in a kind of a slightly less glam way than like the classic like yacht experience. Like I want to, not too much planning, just relying on the ferries and slowly getting my way from one island to another. But some of the ones that I really want to see that I haven't seen yet are Kefalonia, and Skopelos, I think it's pronounced as well. And not an island, but I'm desperate to go to Mount Olympus just because it's so iconic.
Sure. Cool. Sounds great. Well, I'm sure eventually, Tiana, you will go to all those places.
Yeah, you'll tick.
And it will be wonderful.
Tick them all off. And we should definitely get you working on the Greek island guides as well.
Yes, Rome in the Greek islands will be your destinations, Tiana.
That's fine with me.
Well, thanks so much for sharing some of your plans with us today, Tiana. It was wonderful to have you on the pod.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, introducing another newbie to the podcast, we have our wonderful editor, Charlie Baker. Welcome, Charlie.
Welcome.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
It's lovely to have you.
Yeah, it's brilliant for you to join us. And you're going to talk a little bit differently about a recent trip that you've just made. So, do you want to tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, so back in March, I was able to take 10 days off to go to Slovenia and Croatia, two countries I'd never been to. So I was really excited to go somewhere new to start 2023.
What made you choose Slovenia and Croatia? I confess, I have been to Croatia. I've never been to Slovenia. I hear only amazing things about Slovenia. Mm. But what was it that sort of tempted you to go there?
So I'm like you, I've never been to Slovenia, but I'd also never been to Croatia. And I had friends who went to Slovenia back in the dark days, pre-pandemic, and and they came back raving, saying, you'll love this place, you've got to go. And whenever anyone says that, my cynical mind immediately says, will I? but having looked into it and looking beyond, you know, the picture postcard, Lake Bled and things like that, I was like, oh, this does seem good. And it was just building up that knowledge and waiting for a time to go. And it got to a point where at the start of this year, I had to go. Yeah. And so I booked the trip, gave myself 10 days. Initially, it was meant to be just Slovenia, but the more I looked at it, the more Croatia was right there. I just thought, why not?
Slovenia is quite an easy country to get across as well, isn't it? It's supposed to be like 2 hours sort of like driving either side or something like that.
Yeah, and that was where the decision to hire a car came in for me, something I'd never done before. But I just thought, as you say, it's right there. It was 2 hours from Bled, where I was, down through Croatia to the Istrian Peninsula. So I just went, yep, I'm doing that. And I'd never been to Croatia, so it seemed like a good opportunity to dip my toe into it without going to somewhere like Dubrovnik or Split, one of those absolutely mega packed tourist destinations.
Was it Pula that you went to in Croatia? That's the main city in Istria, I think.
Yeah, so I based myself there and then just went zigzagged up and down the coast.
Wonderful.
this is the fourth interview now, and I'm just getting more and more envy about travel plans and stuff. Sounds amazing. I mean, Charlie, a couple of years ago, when we first started this podcast, I got asked by a journalist to sort of say where I wanted to go I want to say in like 2021, and it was Slovenia, and I did all this research and was like, I'm gonna like be like in Slovenia, and I've never done it. I have, that's my massive confession.
You'll get there,
I will there. I will one fine day.
James, it took me 4 years because my race went in 2018-19, and I only got there in 2023. So you have two more years.
There's hope for me. And then that's it. I can never go ever again. But it's one of those places, the more I was reading about it, the more I wanted to go, where, you know, there's an amazing kind of foodie scene as well. I think they've had a massive influx of like Michelin-starred restaurants and lots of farm-to-table stuff.
Italian food, I think, in particular in Istria, is a big Italian influence.
Oh, yeah. In Croatia, yes. All that area was at one point Italy. Oh, it's right. Changed one of those things where it's changed hands many, many times. So there's loads of Italian influence, lots of olive oil, lots of truffle in that in that area, which obviously is a big selling point. But Slovenia is the same. The more you go towards Italy, the more Italian it gets. And the more you go towards Austria, the more sort of Austrian it gets as well.
Lovely.
How did you find the driving? How did you find the kind of the moving between places? Was it challenging at all? You said it's the first time you've done it.
Yeah, that was slightly terrifying to begin with. Like I said, the first time I'd done it, so everything is counterintuitive. The wheel's on the wrong side, you're driving on the wrong side, and the gear stick was the biggest one. Like, when you've spent so long just changing gear automatically with your left hand, the amount of times I went to like open the window instead of change gear as I went with my left hand. Oh, yeah. God. Yeah. It's like you have to retrain your brain to do it right hand. And I got used to it, but it was never natural. It was never like, it was always like, where's third? Oh, God, where's third?
Yeah. Am I right in thinking, Charlie, that you did the trip solo as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you find that?
So I've travelled a bunch by myself before, so that doesn't faze me. It almost like lends itself to my introverted personality, where I can just be with myself and my own thoughts in the echo chamber of hell.
But nice and soul, Charlie. That's
in all seriousness, I think solo travel is the best way to understand what kind of traveller you actually are.
Yeah.
Okay. Just because you don't have to accommodate anyone else's travelling desires or wants. And I don't mean that in a negative way, just you're only doing it in the nicest possible way, but it's very selfish.
Yeah.
So it's just you. And so when you do travel with other people, you have a far better understanding of what kind of traveller you are and what things you want to see. So I think in the long term, it's actually good, even though it can be a very selfish pursuit to begin with.
And how much did you kind of plan beforehand? Did you, because you were obviously travelling through and doing a bit of a road trip, or did you slightly freestyle it, as you say? Like, were you kind of a bit selfish and kind of like just checking your own vibe and what you wanted to do at that time, if that makes sense?
It was a bit like that, like a bit, what do I fancy? But in March, it was still quite cold and quite snowy. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the higher roads up towards Austria were still very snow covered, so that was kind of dictating as well where I wanted to go in terms of driving on the in a new car in a new environment. Maybe snow roads wouldn't be the best idea ever, so I avoided those, and that kind of dictated the beginning of my trip. But once I got used to it, I just went with what I fancied, to be honest, as you say.
Yeah.
It's a really nice approach to travelling in a way of like not having a plan necessarily.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'd definitely done my research on things, but once there, that can all kind of go out the window. Some days you just don't feel up to what you planned.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to ask finally, Charlie, what were some of your sort of absolute highlights from the trip?
So I guess one from each country. Slovenia was definitely walking around Lake Bled at dawn. It's a very picture postcard, obviously famous destination, and you can feel like you're drowning in the crowds a bit. But I got up at dawn and just took myself off around the lake, and there's the three viewpoints around the far side of the lake, which are a little hike up.
Okay.
And they overlook the lake and the sunrise behind it, which comes up over the snowy mountains. And unfortunately, I just had a clear day and I didn't see another soul. And it was lovely. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. And that was just really ideal, especially in a destination like that where it's packed and it's nice to find your peace. And then Croatia, there's this place called Cape Kamenjak. Okay. I think the J is silent, which is just south of Pula, which is this nature reserve. on this very rugged coastline, which just has all these amazing walking trails, cycling trails, and you can just lose yourself in a whole afternoon just walking through it. And it was one of the most beautiful, beautiful places, and especially in the late afternoon when you've got the sun setting over the sea, and it was all very peaceful. And yeah, it was a wonderful experience just to take yourself out of the city and to experience this place where it's clearly well known to Croatians, but I don't think it's well known internationally at all.
No. What a wonderful end to all of our conversations, actually. And I love the fact you sunrise in Slovenia, sunset in Croatia. It's the perfect bookend.
That was an accident.
I just thought it was a really great narrative arc, Charlie. I thought you were just...
I wish I'd thought of it before.
Adding your editorial skill to the podcast.
Absolutely.
But no, as Lucy said, it's a great way to end this kind of like this omnibus episode of looking at various trips that our team have taken. So thank you so much, Charlie. That was brilliant and great to have you on the podcast for the first time as
welcome.
Well.
Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, really enjoyed it.
So what a lovely episode. Isn't it great to have the team back on?
Yeah, I just really enjoy these episodes. I do. Even though we speak to these people every day.
Yeah.
So nice to, I don't know, properly sit down and hear about their travels.
That's right. And I mean, it was quite a European focused one this time.
Yeah.
I think, I guess maybe we're still getting back out there to traveling a little bit further, but a really nice range of destinations, I thought.
Totally. And also, I guess, you know, we're all thinking about traveling responsibly and thinking of Rachel, for example, with her, you know, train adventures through Italy. Alex is, you know, traveling by foot. It's very much in keeping with this season's overarching message.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, we hope you enjoyed those. A big thank you to all of our guests today. It's been wonderful to have you on the podcast. So massive thanks to Charlie, to Tiana, to Alex and to Rachel. And we'll be back in a fortnight. Do you know where we're going, Lucy?
I do. I'm super excited about this episode. We are off to Vienna with Adia Trischler, who will be a fantastic guest, I'm sure.
Yeah, Adia does some amazing things on YouTube, some like really brilliant videos around Vienna. So she will have a lot to say, I'm sure. It's an amazing city as well and quite cool. It's kind of centre of bohemian and artistic kind of culture in Europe. So I think that's going to be a smashing episode. Do join us for that in a fortnight's time. And until then, it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
And we shall see you very soon. Where to Go is a podcast from DK Eyewitness. It was produced by Julia Baker, presented by Lucy Richards and James Atkinson with the help of Bella Talbot. For more information about DK Eyewitness, follow us on social media at DK Eyewitness or visit dk.com/eyewitness. And please like and follow the show. And if you have time, leave a review. Your support means so much to us.